It's good to see y'all this morning. If you'd turn to Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to take the Lord's Supper here in just a little bit, so I have a brief message to prepare us for the Lord's Supper. And just so you'll know, you may be visiting with us today, and you may say, you may already be asking yourself, am I going to be able to take the Lord's Supper? Do they do closed communion? We do not do closed communion here. We believe that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper for believers, and we would certainly not want to make you feel like you stick out like a sore thumb and not allow you to take of the Lord's Supper here at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. It's for you, and it's for us. It's for all of us that believe in Jesus. So it is important that we take of the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner, and so let's prepare our hearts through the Word of God and through this brief time that we have prior. And so ask the Lord to be ever so close to your heart and reveal any sin that needs to be confessed or whatever may be there, because we need to make sure that we are ready for this moment. So the title of the message is Standing Firm, and we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. And I'm in the New King James Version, so if you'd stand for the reading of God's Word. And I'm going to read verses 10 through 13. And then I will skip down to verse 16 through 18. Keep in mind, standing firm. Watch for the words stand or withstand. Very important. So here we go. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. If you have the New Living Translation, that is really worded cool right there. Now look at verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation. Now watch this. And the sword of the Spirit. I got to read that part again. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Word. And Father, we pray this morning that you would open our hearts to understand it. Open our spiritual ears and our spiritual eyes that we might hear. Father, prepare our hearts for the elements, those symbolic elements that point us back to the cross, point us to the blood, point us to the body sacrifice of Jesus Christ, for without which none of us could be saved. And Father, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the other morning, I was going to an early morning surgery, and I was going through the radio stations trying to find some preaching to listen to on my way to the hospital. It was really, really early, and so I didn't really know for sure where I needed to be, and I got on this little bit of a fuzzy channel, but I could hear it okay, and Dr. David Jeremiah was preaching a really good message. And he shared an illustration. And when he shared that illustration, I thought, man, I hope he cites where he found that, because I would love to have that for this coming Sunday. And sure enough, he says the guy's name at the end. And I was able to get it written in the notes of my phone, and I found it word for word, what he shared. And I want to share it with you because it touched me and it fits perfectly where we are this morning. Author and naturalist, and you can write this down, Arthur and naturalist Craig Childs On one occasion, he was doing research on the lions in the Arizona's Blue Range Wilderness. As he approached a water hole from downwind, he spotted a mountain lion drinking water. But the lion did not know that he was there. When it finished drinking, it walked slowly away into a cluster of junipers. After a few minutes, Childs walked to the water hole to identify the tracks in the mud and record notes. Just before he bent down to look closer, he scanned the perimeter, and there among the shadows of the junipers about 30 feet away, he saw a pair of eyes. He expected the lion to run away, but it walked into the sunlight towards him. Childs pulled his knife and stared into the eyes of the lion. He knew what he had to do. More importantly, he also knew what he must not do. He writes, "Mountain lions are known to take down animals 6, 7, and 8 times their size. Their method? Attack from behind. Clamp onto the spine at the base of the prey's skull. Snap the spine. The top few vertebrae are the target, housing respiratory and motor skills that cease instantly when the cord is cut. Mountain lions have stalked people for miles. One woman survived an attack and escaped by foot on a road. The lion shortcut the road several miles further and killed her from behind." Now, about this incident that Childs went through, here's what he said he did. He says, "I hold firm to my ground and do not even indicate that I will back off. If I run, it is certain I will have a mountain lion all over me. If I give it my back, I will only briefly feel its weight on me against the ground. The canine teeth will open my vertebrae without breaking a single bone. The mountain lion begins to move to my left, and I turn, keeping my face on it, my knife at my right side. It paces to my right, trying to get around on the other side to get behind me. I turn right, staring at it. My stare is about the only defense I have. The amazing thing is Childs is actually maintains that defense all the way through it. As the mountain lion continued to try to provoke him to run, turning left, then right, back and forth again and again until it came to just 10 feet away. Finally, the standoff ended. The lion turned and walked away, defeated by a man who knew what never to do in its presence." That's what we have to do when it comes to standing in Jesus Christ in an evil day. Look at chapter 6. If you notice in verse 11, look at the word "stand," and we'll see this 4 times. Starting in verse 11, he says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to" what? "Stand against the wiles," that's methodia in the Greek, it means schemes, "against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." We have to remind ourselves there's a bunch of evil demons, fallen angels, and Satan that is like a roaring lion seeking to try to destroy our faith. Remember, Jesus defeated Satan at the cross. We don't fight for victory. If you fight for victory, you'll be fighting and not winning. We fight from victory, because the victory's already been won at the cross. He says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Now watch again, verse 13. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And then the fourth one is in verse 14, "stand. Therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness." Now, I want to give you a few things to help you to stand when you face the lion. You know, when Trace and I were in Little Rock Friday for a Arkansas State Gideon Convention, and Blake and Jenna Bowlerjack sang a song about the lion in the lamb. It's a really, really good song. we have the Lion of the tribe of Judah in the Lamb. And Jesus resurrected from the grave on the third day, triumphing over Satan and all of the spiritual host of wickedness that follow him. And so when you think about what do the demons do, what does the world, the flesh, and the devil and those demons do to us as Christians today? They try to give you a spirit of fear. Because if they can give you a spirit of fear, that's the way they paralyze you in your walk with Jesus. And the Bible tells us that God, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. One of the words that he used and Paul used in 2 Timothy is of power. And so the first thing that you have to do when you're staring the lion in his face, the Lord's Supper helps us with that. Because what tends to happen when we get away from the Lord and we begin to stray from the gospel, here's what happens. Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. What happens is we begin to forget our identity. We begin to forget who we are in. We forget that we do not even belong to ourselves, that we've been bought at a price. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 teaches us that. We've been bought at a price, and that price was the blood of Jesus Christ. And we celebrate today with a cup to celebrate that blood. And Jesus gave of his life's blood and his life's body the innocent lamb who was really, truly a lion from the tribe of Judah. He gave of his body sacrificially so that you and I could be forgiven. Kevin just sang that song. So that we could be cleansed from all unrighteousness and we could be made clean in the presence of God. So whenever Satan now comes and threatens us, what he wants to do is give us a spirit of fear so that we fear things. And if we fear things, if we're not careful, we lose judgment. We lose discernment. We lose our faith, begins to get rocky and shaky, because what we're doing is we're so focused on the world and so focused on the waves that we can't see the one in control of the world in control of the waves. And we have a God who is faithful and he is still on his throne. So number one, surrender your fears to the Holy Spirit, which is your power in the Lord Jesus. Can't stress that enough. Surrender your fears to the Holy Spirit. You've got to say, Holy Spirit, you've got to say, Father, I am eat up with fear. Father, I'm not making good decisions because fear is in rule in my life right now. I need to know what to do. And the Lord says you need to put on the full armor of God and you got to stand because I already defeated Satan on the cross. He is a defeated foe and you stand, but you got to have a way to stand. You got to stand in power of the Holy Spirit. That's why he says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. That power comes from the Holy Spirit. And of love. That love comes from God. And of a sound mind. And that sound mind comes from the peace that surpasses all understanding that he gives our heart. So surrender your fears to the power of the Holy Spirit. Then secondly, this is important, surrender your fears to the Word of God, which is your sword hidden in the sheath of your heart. Look at verse 17. He says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Can't stress that enough. A lot of times we say, oh, I've got my sword, but you need to know who's wielding it. You're not wielding it. You get the sword in your heart, and it is the Holy Spirit that will wield the sword. It is the sword of the Spirit. It's not the sword of Bruce Rudd. You can put your own name there. It is the sword of the Holy Spirit. So when I take the sword, the Word of God, and I hide it in the sheath of my heart, then whenever Satan comes to beset me, to tempt me, to give me a spirit of fear, the Holy Spirit is going to say, I've got something to remind you of that is in your heart. I want to remind you of the Word of God, which is going to give you understanding because it is truth. It's going to give you discernment. It's going to cause you to be able to take action in the right manner. And you're going to realize that as you apply my Word to your situation right now, my Holy Spirit's fixing to do a work in your behalf because that's why I gave you the sword of the Spirit. And so it's important to always remember, it is the sword of the Spirit. And the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, that it is living and alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's what we have with the Word of God. You don't just have black letters, red letters printed on a page. You have literally the truth of God who is eternal. We're living in time. He is from everlasting. He already seen our story. And the God of eternal wrote the Bible through men over a long period of years, over a lot of authors. And he moved in their heart and he penned the Word of God. So when you're studying the Word of God, there is power in the Word of God because there is the power of the Holy Spirit. It's important that we always remember that. Number three, surrender your fears to prayer, which is your faith. Now watch this. Transferring the battle to the Lord. You go to war in flesh and blood, you're going to have a flesh and blood war. But if you'll take care of that battle in the spirit realm, you'll see what God can do. It's going to require patience. It's going to require grace. It's going to require love. But what happens when you transfer the battle to the Lord doesn't mean that there's not action that you have to do on your part. But what it means is this: you're going to have guidance. Y'all know how horrible I am with directions, driving. Man, I can get turned around so quick. My problem is I get distracted too easily. I like to look at old tractors and implements and equipment on the side of the road, and it's really hard. I end up hitting my brakes, and Teresa has to make me keep going. And when we were getting ready to come back yesterday, we went and got gas at Sam's, and we went through a Whataburger drive-thru, so we're kind of, Teresa knows where to go, so we're driving around in Little Rock, kind of getting all stirred up and turned around and everything. And so before we left, Teresa said, okay, before we go back, which way is Texas? Man, I mean, she gave me a big, broad question there. And I got lucky and pointed in the right direction. And I pointed towards the passenger window and I said, that way? And she said, yes. I said, Teresa, I know how to get to Texas. I can get us to Texas. And it was a lucky guess. I was proud. I didn't have my compass hard hat on or I would have immediately knew which way to go. But you have direction when you transfer the battle to the Lord. Look at verse 18. Now this verse is probably the most accurate in the New American Standard Bible. The New King James Version says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. There's that word Spirit again. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance. It means you got to stay on your toes. When it comes to prayer, never have it where you're beginning to dismiss it. When it comes to prayer, keep it always in your mind, always on the tip of your tongue. Be in a spirit of prayer at all times. That means ready to hear from God, ready to pray over things. Be in a spirit of prayer. And so when he says praying always with all prayer, what he's saying is in your spirit of prayer, while you're in a mindset of praying during the day, a mindset of listening to God, a mindset of allowing him to convict, to encourage, to affirm, and to direct. You're in that mindset through your day, and it takes the stress off because you have God who is yoked up to you in Jesus Christ. And he says, then, praying always with all prayer. Then you're going to have a prayer within your praying. Does that make sense? There's going to be things in your spirit of thinking on God that is going to be brought to your attention. And then when those things are brought to your attention, voice it in a prayer to the Lord and watch what God will do. And so praying transfers, it takes faith. Prayer is your faith in action. And it's transferring that battle, that fear or that problem. You're transferring it to the Lord, allowing the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom and to give you discernment, so that you can get through it. I want to give you a few things about prayer that I'd written in this journal that I think are real important. And there's three things about prayer that you need to remember. Number one, you've got to believe. Teresa sang that song, Believe for It. Over and over and over, Old Testament, New Testament, God is asking for our faith. You have to believe. Believe. Have faith in God. You can read about that in Mark chapter 11, verses 23 and 24. You've got to forgive. The Bible says, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. And if you don't forgive, neither will God forgive you your trespass. In other words, if you don't exercise forgiveness, it is sin against God. So to exercise forgiveness allows our fellowship to be restored with God. And if you're praying, you need fellowship with God. So if you have something against somebody, you need to ask for forgiveness, even if they're not asking you for forgiveness. You need to say, God, I forgive them. God, bless that individual. God, work through that individual. God, give me grace. God, give me patience. Give me love. Give me understanding. And God, bless that individual. And when you do that, what you're doing is you're opening your heart up to the Lord. So you got to believe. You got to forgive. Number three, feel. We don't look at this one very much. You got to F-I-L-L. Fill your temple with prayer. In the Old Testament time, God dwelt in the temple. If you wanted to experience or see the glory of God, you could see it in a lot of ways in the Old Testament, but one way was in the temple. It was a glorious place, and His glory would fill the temple. After we become Christians, the temple was a shadow and a picture of what was to come. And now our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we need to make sure we take the trash out of our temple. That's our bodies. If we got trash in our heart, we need to get it out of there, because our bodies, our temple, is to be a place of prayer. It should be a place that the Holy Spirit can show up in and that we can have communion with God. So fill your temple with prayer. You can write down 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. So often we don't allow the Holy Spirit to just take over our hearts and to be in communion with the Holy Spirit while we pray. We tend to pray like this. Okay, God, you're in heaven sitting on a chair or just watching from heaven, and I'm down here on earth. And we have that type mentality when we pray. God's up there and I'm right here. If you're a born-again Christian, Jesus is already in your heart, and He's never going nowhere. The problem is we need to approach Him by faith and belief, and we need to allow Him to move in our heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. So praying is very important. You know, I heard a poem one time that says this, says, restraining prayer, we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian armor bright. And Satan trembles when he sees the meanest saint upon his knees. Isn't that so true? You want to see Satan get scared? I know a lot of times I'll say we can tell the devil he can set on attack. That's true. But I'm going to tell you, when Satan gets the most afraid of a Christian, it's when a Christian's on his knees praying. It's when a Christian is seeking the Lord. That's where the Lord will step in and defeat the work of the enemy. We're going to take of the Lord's Supper here in a second. And as soon as I get through praying, I want to ask our deacons, our servants, to come forward. And if you've never been here and seen how we do the Lord's Supper, just wait, because what will happen, the deacons are going to serve. They'll bring the bread by first. In a few minutes, they'll bring the cup. And we will take the bread together, and we will take the cup together. So just wait and just kind of follow the steps. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to come to this time of the Lord's Supper, to be reminded of the cross, to be reminded where the defeat, where the battle took place, and You defeated Satan and all the spiritual host of wickedness. We see that host of wickedness working in the sons of disobedience, the unbelievers today. And we see the wickedness all around us, Lord, and we know that the evil that our eyes witness today, that there is a spiritual host of wickedness that is working the puppet strings of hearts. And Father, I pray today that the gospel would be a light in America. I pray, Father, that You would return us back to the truths of the Word of God. I pray, Father, that You would bring a great awakening in our midst. And I pray, Father, that we would spend as much time sharing the gospel and trying to reach people for Christ as we do complaining over all the evil that we see. Father, let us be intentional about the gospel. Nothing can change a nation faster than a changed heart. Lord, we pray for all of our leaders We pray, Father, that you would speak to them in their hearts. Bring them to other Christians. Bring them to the Word of God. Lord, we pray that you would save souls in Washington and throughout all the capitals of the United States. Father, we pray that there would be a hunger and a thirst for righteousness in our midst. And Father, we pray that as a church, that Lord, that we would stand firm against the wiles of the devil in the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask our servants if you would come forward. The Bible says in Luke 22, and this is when Jesus is gathered with his disciples, and this is when he takes the Passover Seder service and converts it from the Old Testament covenant to the New Covenant in his blood and in his body. And Jesus says to his disciples something brand new. And he says, and he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Jesus, for giving of your body so that we could be saved. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. It had to be an amazing thing, because we read the Bible knowing what has happened. We already see what takes place after this upper room experience. The disciples are kind of getting to live it out in real time. And so after supper, the Bible says that likewise he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Can't imagine what the disciples must have thought when they take of the cup together and Jesus points at that cup and says, "The blood, the wrath that will be endured will be my blood." Jesus is saying, "My blood is the cup that's going to be shed for you." And they had to be asking themselves when, even though Jesus had shared it with them. The Bible says they did not understand until after he had risen from the grave. Jesus was speaking of his own body, the Lamb of God, that takes away the sins of the world. Apart from the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins, according to Hebrews 9:22. So I always like to look at the cup and think about it, that it took blood to save my soul. And it takes blood, the blood of Jesus, to get me into heaven. Let's pray. We're going to have a time of invitation, perhaps during the Lord's Supper, maybe through this exercise, you've realized that, you know, I didn't quite understand everything, but I understand that Jesus died for me and he gave his life for me. And you can give Jesus your heart right now, this moment, right where you sit. What a day to be saved. You can say, "Lord Jesus, I believe that you're God. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you gave of your blood atonement that I can be saved. And Lord Jesus, I've been trying to do life on my own apart from you. And Lord, I see my sin. I recognize that I am lost. I recognize that I am a sinner. And Lord Jesus, I come to you just as I am. I surrender my life to you." You see, Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe. And we owe a debt that we cannot pay. And you simply give your heart to Jesus in belief and by faith. And you say, "Lord Jesus, I believe. I turn from my sin. I repent of the way I've been living. I do a U-turn. And Lord Jesus, I turn to you today in belief and in faith. And I pray, Lord, that you would receive me as your child." And the Bible says that to those who receive him, he gives the right to become children of God. From the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession unto salvation. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Now you may be in here this morning, and perhaps God has put it on your heart that this is the church he wants you to join and to identify with. You can do that this morning. Father, do in our hearts what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.